Let me begin with a story. It happened when I was a vicar down in Margate. And down in Margate, if you know Margate, it's absolutely full of bungalows and retirements. And we kind of got a lot of funerals there. Well, this funeral was coming up. And it was of someone I didn't know. And I was just asked, because they lived in the parish, would I do the funeral? And so I said yes. And I did the pre-visit, and it was clear that this was a family where all was not quite right. Relationships were somewhat strained. I had a word with the funeral directors too, and they tipped me off that I might have a few problems on my hands when it came to the service itself. Well, they were wrong in one sense. The day came, and there we all piled into Thanet Crematorium, and Thanet Crematorium is shaped just like this, pews on either side. One side sat one half of the family, on the other side sat the other half. They didn't even glower at each other, but you could sense the tension down the middle of the aisle. I never did find out what it was that had caused this massive family breakdown. But it was there. And it was very, very deep-rooted indeed. And maybe you can think of families like that, or situations like that. It may be families, it may be neighbours, it may be all sorts of people. Things and situations where relationships are broken down, where forgiveness and reconciliation have never come into play. And maybe you can think of others where there have been really serious pressures on relationships, and somehow people have managed to work it out. It's hard, forgiveness and reconciliation, but it's hugely worthwhile. How difficult it is sometimes not to give that meaningful apology. How difficult it is at times not to be willing to forgive. Because that's what Jesus is talking about in that reading from the Gospel of Matthew we had just now. Relationships mattered hugely to Jesus. And the heart of them, so often, is this willingness to forgive. Remember the story. It began with a question from Peter. Peter has got as far as realizing that forgiveness matters. He's got there on that one. Particularly, in this context, relationships within the Christian family. Amongst members of a church, relationships really matter. Something's troubling him. How often is he going to have to forgive that person who is a real pain in the neck? Not that I'm sure you have any such people here, nor there. But how often do you have to forgive? And he's really steeled himself up. Lord, is it as many as 7 times? Because frankly, that's about as far as I can think of in terms of forgiveness. And then he gets that response from Jesus. I tell you, not 7 times, but it's either, and the translations vary, it's either 77 times or 70 times 7, which I reckon is 490. And of course what Jesus is saying is, don't bother to count. Just keep on forgiving. It's a really tough call. He's not saying do it 77 times, and then number 78 you can stop, or 491 you can stop. He's saying keep on forgiving. And so he tells them a story. It's a story about a king, as so often with Jesus' stories, a king and a kingdom. It's a kingdom that's got a real problem financially. The chancellor, or whoever it is, hasn't been doing his sums terribly well. There is a massive hole in this kingdom's bank balance. And he calls forward the man who's responsible. He owes 10,000 talents. At which point you say, well, how much was that worth? Well, a talent, at least in one place I went to, is worth 6,000 denarii. So multiply that up, that's about 60 million denarii by my calculation. And if your denarius is a day's wage, let's make that £50 for a day's wage. That comes, roughly speaking, to 3 billion quid. This is a serious debt. He is not Bill Gates. He has not founded Apple. He isn't some Russian oligarch. This is a man with a very, very serious debt on his hands. £3 billion. And you remember what happens next? He says, please, I'll pay it off. And all the hearers know, not a chance. He can sell all he's got. He can even sell his wife and his children in the local slave market. They won't touch this debt. It's massive. And then Jesus says, what the king does is has pity on him and he wipes the slate clean. £3 billion, just wiped out. You're forgiven. It's okay. You don't owe it anymore. But that, of course, is not the end of the story. Out the man goes and comes across someone who owes him 100 denarii. So that's about £5,000. Okay, not insignificant, but not much when compared to 3 billion. And you remember what happens. Exactly the same conversation happens as happened between the man who owed the 3 billion and the king. Pay back what you owe me, he said. Thank you, Pam, for reading that with suitable force. It should be read with suitable force. It was absolutely bang on. And his fellow servant falls to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. £5,000. It's possible. But the man refuses. He sends the man, his £5,000 debtor, off to the debtor's prison. And no wonder the other servants are absolutely furious. Here's this man who's been forgiven 3 billion, and he won't let someone off for 5,000. Something deeply wrong there. He's a man who simply hasn't understood about forgiving and forgiveness. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach Peter. That as his followers, as Jesus' followers, we've been forgiven a huge amount. That's the nature of God. He forgives us our sins. He wipes the slate clean. We're forgiven people. And what God longs for in turn is that we should be forgiving people. That's the challenge to me and the challenge to you, as it was the challenge to Peter. It's something to preach and teach and believe and live. Let's practice forgiveness amongst ourselves. Not the forgiveness that tries to sweep things under the carpet. The costly forgiveness that acknowledges what's happened and moves forward from there. That's the kind of forgiveness that God loves. It's difficult to forgive. As I say, I don't know what it was that split that family apart. The funeral I did for them. I don't know what it was. But forgiveness is hard. And sometimes we can beat ourselves up with our failure to forgive. Lord, I haven't forgiven as I should have done. I really should have forgiven. And we beat ourselves up. That is not what the servant, the unforgiving servant, is doing here. He has no conscience whatsoever. God can deal with our consciences. God can support us. But he does long that we should be trying to forgive. And the other thing about it, and this connects very closely to a confirmation service, of course, God himself helps us to forgive. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit who comes to help us forgive. When we're at the end of our own strength, the Holy Spirit is there to help us to forgive. And to forgive, as he says at the end of the parable, to forgive your brother and your sister from your heart. Amen.